Hello, Gone Wild Audible. I have a scholarly treat for you today. I thought it would be fun to do a hysterical reading of The Sounds of Poetry by Robert Pinsky. It's one of my old college books from my poetry seminar, and I thought it would be fun to read about how we make the sounds we make. While I will undoubtedly be making lots of interesting sounds. So, that being said, I should get started, shouldn't I? Because you're not here to listen to me talk, right? You're here to listen to me be hysterical. Whew. Chapter 1, Accent and Duration. What determines the stress or accent in English words and sentences? What precisely does it mean to say, for example, that we stress the first syllable in the word rabbit and the second syllable in the word omit? What exactly does the voice do to create that audible, distinct accent, a term that for now I will use interchangeably with stress? This is a more interesting question than might appear at first. Just considering the question can, in itself, help one to hear more about the sounds of the words we speak. For instance, the answer that stress is produced by increased loudness or volume is not completely satisfactory, as a little experimentation will suggest. Consider what a speaker does to distinguish between, say, the first word and the last word of the following sentence. Permit me to give you a permit. Turning the volume down or up has some relation to what our voice does, but fails to explain the delicate but quite distinct difference that virtually all speakers can indicate and virtually all listeners can detect. I'll focus more minutely for a moment. Here is an English sound, it. In the nature of the English language, the sound, which also happens to be a one-syllable word, is neither stressed or unstressed by itself. It is neither short nor long by itself. The sound is conventionally stressed relative to the syllables near it when one says bitter or reiterate or she had wit. It is conventionally unstressed when one says italicize or rabbit or Pat had it. These examples demonstrate a useful principle. The stress on the syllable in English is not inherent to the sound, but relative. A syllable is stressed or unstressed only in relation to the syllables around it. As a corollary, accent is a matter of degree. This knowledge is useful because if accent or stress is a matter of degree, we can hear interesting rhythms even in a line where the basic structure is the simple pattern of alternating unstressed and stressed syllables. For example, it is not growing like a tree, in bulk doth make man better be. Each of these two lines is made of four pairs of syllables. Each pair of syllables is arranged so that the second one has more accent than the first. Is sticks out just a bit more than it in the very, very light first pair, and grow sticks out more than not in the rather heavy second pair. And like sticks out quite a lot more than ing, and tree definitely sticks out more than a. In the final pair of the line, a tree, the difference between the unstressed first syllable and the stressed second syllable is greater than in the earlier pairs. We could analyze the second line similarly, noting the considerable pause early in the line also... noting that the considerable pause early in the line also varies the rhythm. What is interesting is that within the simple system of four pairs, each pair ascending in the accent from first syllable to second, the actual rhythm of the words is not sing-song or repetitious because so much varies. Unless you make the mistake of pronouncing the words in some special chanting or poetic manner, you can hear both the pattern and the constant variation. The degree of accent varies, And the degree of difference between the unstressed and stressed syllables also varies from one pair to the next. In fact, the syllable not, unstressed within its pair, has about the same or even more stress than the syllable is, which is stressed within its pair. Thus, the first four syllables in the line, it is not grow, actually ascend in the degree of accent. From such observations, we can conclude that the line is not simply a thump on every other syllable. A diagram of the line would not be a series of equal hills and valleys, sawtooth fashion, but a much more varying, precise graph with the stressed syllable in one relatively light pair, sometimes on a level with, or even below, the unstressed syllable of a relatively heavy pair. Here the graph might show stairs, or four ascending points. Something like this happens in the second line, in the first four syllables of the following phrase, doth make men better be. The technical name for the pattern I have been describing as a pair of syllables, with the first syllable less prominent than the second, is an iambic foot, or an iamb. The stressed syllable is determined only in relation to the other syllables within the foot. Thus, a stressed syllable within one foot may be less stressed than the unstressed syllable in another. As the imaginary graph of a line like, it is not growing like a tree indicates, not all iambic feet are alike. In fact, no two are the same. It has taken me many words to describe only a little of what we hear when we hear two lines spoken and perceive in an instant both the abstract pattern or system, four pairs of syllables per line, the second half of each pair accented, and the actual living rhythm of the lines. The laborious process of description, compared to the lightning apprehension, dramatizes how efficient the form is and how sensitive the ear. To return to the original question, what does the ear so precisely and delicately hear the voice doing? Volume or loudness does not satisfactorily explain what we do when we accent a syllable, because pitch, or most precisely change of pitch, ordinarily higher pitch, plays a major part in signaling the accent. Thus, it is not merely fanciful to say that in a way we sing all day to one another when we speak. What was it? What was the question? I'll tell you the question. It was, will you or won't you permit me to have a learner's permit? Is it permissible, idiot? You sound so embittered. The last word above, embittered, illustrates another important distinction. I have said that the syllable it, or any syllable in English, is accented or unaccented only relative to the syllables around it, not in itself. I added that the syllable is in itself neither short nor long, and the second statement is not a mere rephrasing of the first. Long and short, a matter of duration, is not the same as accent. That fact is demonstrated by such words as popcorn. The first syllable is stressed, but saying the word aloud a few times and listening carefully will indicate clearly that the second syllable is longer. The sound lasts slightly, but distinctly, longer. In the word ocean, in contrast, the first syllable is both stressed and longer. Thus, sometimes duration reinforces accent, and sometimes it contrasts with accent. In the word embittered, the accented second syllable is much shorter than the rather long, fine, I needed that. Okay, so I made it 5 pages. That's not bad. I didn't think I was gonna make it all the way through the first chapter, but that was fun. All right. Okay. Robert Pinsky, The Sounds of Poetry, as read with a Hitachi. I hope you all enjoyed that, and I will undoubtedly be back sometime in the near future with some other ridiculous thing to read while masturbating with a Hitachi. Thank you very much, Gone Wild Audible, and I will see you later.